Dirt and Sprague.
I really do believe they're either going to live up to the hype or they're going to have a very mediocre season.
Starting your day with a big cup of dirt.
No, I'm not a bro.
And a little splash of Sprague.
Peekaboo.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. That's 1080 AM. The Odyssey app and YouTube. Good morning, YouTube. Good morning, everybody out there. Hope your Monday is going all right so far. We talked mostly Masters. Swag is back on the ones and twos. Went through a family emergency last week. Still going to go through it. Just going to have to be flying back and forth, take care of Pops as he's going through recovery now. But it's good to have Swag back into the fold as he's rocking his Timbers gear. Timbers got a big win this weekend against LAFC. Who I was told were missing three of their four best players. But we did win the match, and that's all that matters.
Does not matter. They needed a dub, and they got the dub.
Hey, dude. Final seconds of stoppage time, and you do it. That's all I care about. A lot to get to in the second hour of the program. We're going to talk Trailblazers as they secured their spot in the play-in. But I want to kick off the second hour reminding you guys to join us June 23rd as Toyota presents the Fan Golf Classic out at Langdon Farms Golf Club. Foursomes are on sale now. Choose between the morning or afternoon rounds. Get your group signed up soon because they do fill up fast. It's the most fun day in golf with activations and tastings around the course and the infamous Angel's Envy Bourbon Par 3, sixth hole. We'll all be hanging out there at the Fan. Us, Danny and Patrick, Luke, Isaac Suk, you name it, they'll all be there. Brandman will be there. Post it up, heckling and admiring your shots. And, of course, we'll feed everybody post-round meal thanks to Matt's Barbecue. Head to 1051thefan.com. Click on the Fan Golf Classic logo for info and to sign up today. The Fan Golf Classic presented by Toyota is also brought to you by Vulcan Design and Construction, Henderson and Daughter Windows and Doors, George McCoy, Warren Allen Attorneys at Law, Battery Exchange, Maestro Dobel Tequila, Philbrook Law, 1-800-DIVORCE, Roto-Rooter, and Window Nation.
Boom goes the dynamite. I'm kind of glad the weather was bad yesterday because I get the golf itch every year watching the Masters. And so when it's that ugly, you're like, well, I can't. There's no point in even thinking about it. I'm not going to go play golf in this.
So I don't get it as much for basketball and football that I did as a kid. Golf still leaves you making you want to play the most, right? When you watch,
when you
a major.
Watch it, absolutely it does.
Like, let me just hit one clean shot with a good clean swing.
Just, one pure iron.
Just
that's all I
straight,
need.
Straight. Yeah.
One 8-iron. Make me feel like I know what I'm doing.
As Swag called it, nutting it.
You know, just go out there and nut a 7-iron one time.
Love it.
Off of a grass range. That's all you need in your life.
Speaking of nutting it, the Trailblazers ended their season on quite the streak there. They beat the Clippers on Friday.
They did. It was a big win.
Did you do your alternate spread? Because they kind of handled the Clippers.
I did the 1.5, and I did. I think I bet it up to 7.5, I think is as far as I went.
Got some more points.
So got some more points out of it. That was just an easy one to say. I mean, home court, the way the Clippers have been playing as of late.
To me, it's the Clippers.
Yeah, you just dominated them in L.A. Portland was coming off that kind of bad loss to San Antonio without their best players and blowing the lead to Denver. They were due for one. I know that they let the lead slip away a little bit in the game. But still, I mean, that was not a surprise to me to see what they did to the Clippers on Friday.
So they handled the Clippers on Friday. They have to just beat the Kings on Sunday yesterday to secure their 8th seed.
I was never in doubt. The Kings are the worst team in the NBA, and they played nobody.
So the funny thing is, I was really honest in the opening of the show. I didn't watch a single second because you're not going to get me to care to watch the Sacramento Kings play basketball. It's not an anti-Blazer thing. It's an anti-Kings thing. The Kings are 22-60.
Historically bad.
It was funny, though, to wake up and check our show social media account, how many Blazer fans were like, are we going to blow this? Are we going to blow this? Because I guess they blew a 20-point lead, but they ended up still winning the game.
You ended up winning by double digits. Well, he didn't cover the 16 and
a half.
They
weren't playing defense in the first quarter.
They don't need to.
Because they were like,
it's
we're the playing
Kings.
The Kings.
We're not doing this. I'm not doing a game recap.
They rolled them in the second quarter.
Mike Richmond does a great job on the Locked On. The one thing I would tell him is, for a Kings game, I don't need a game recap.
No.
Yeah.
Nobody
cares.
It's
the unfortunate nature of tanking in the NBA is that there's just no desire to watch the bottom 7 or 8 teams. And Portland happened to play a lot of those teams in the back half of the year, which was very beneficial for them.
So I think that's what's interesting. So they take care of the Kings yesterday, and they beat the Clippers on Friday. They're going to be the 8 seed. They're going to play tomorrow at Phoenix, 7 o'clock Amazon Prime game.
Yeah, I think they're going to beat Phoenix. I think they're going to get the 7 seed.
And I had this take even before they got through the Clipper game that I was texting with a media member, and we were talking about the Blazers and, you know, the winning, the losing, the pick, the playoffs, all that stuff. And I know this city better than this city, I think, knows itself. Like, I'm well aware that going into that game, anybody wondering if they should keep that pick quickly told themselves they need to be the 8 seed or the 7 seed. And so I know that the city is all in on the playoffs. That being said, I also think that they are going to get the 7 seed and face the Spurs. And so we already have trash talk from yesterday's win, securing the 8 seed, from Blazer fan to Spurs fan.
Yeah, that's, you know.
That's wise.
Shaking in your boots.
I mean, I don't think San Antonio is going to see it, nor do I think San Antonio cares. I think San Antonio is a little more focused on getting out of that series healthy.
Larger goals.
If we have to play, you know, the matchups that will come in the second round, how do we get through OKC eventually when it happens? Like, that's what San Antonio is focused on.
Suns fans, meanwhile, are terrified because we're coming in, we're large, we're in charge.
They've been sinking like a stone. I mean, they had a nice run. It kind of coincided with us getting hot in the back half of the year. Yeah. When you go look at their I mean, they have not been a great team over the last 20 or so games of the season.
No, and so Portland's playing better basketball. Now, to your point, you looked it up during one of the breaks. They've beaten a lot of garbage teams.
Yeah.
But that doesn't matter. Sometimes beating the bad teams builds your confidence.
Yeah,
sure.
And so they beat the Clippers.
The point is, though, in the playoffs, you're not going to play. Bad teams don't exist in the playoffs.
Well, that's not always true.
Well, to a certain we're not going to play them outside of the
play-in. The Warriors, the Clippers, or the Suns are going to be a playoff team.
That is true.
Those are bad teams.
And are we a bad team?
We're an okay-ish team.
Okay, so we're okay-ish. But okay-ish. Phoenix, Golden State,
hey,
they're bad. Got
okay-ish.
It. Just checking on the math
we're
there.
Okay-ish.
Making sure that it all checks out.
We're not bad. We're okay-ish.
You do not have a 7-game series loading if you win on Tuesday against the Sacramento Kings. That's the slight difference. So
well,
it can build your confidence.
Yeah.
I don't like. I just went through this. So they were 23-28 was kind of a low watermark for them. They had just lost 5 or 6 in a row on a long road trip.
Okay.
So they were 500 or game above 500, lost 6 in a row. They're 23-28. It's about a week before the All-Star break. From that point of being 23-28, they ended the season 19-12. That's a great closing stretch. Here are your wins in that stretch. You ready? Memphis, Philadelphia, Utah, Phoenix, Chicago, Memphis again, Indiana, Utah, Brooklyn, Indiana, Minnesota, Sans Anthony Edwards, Brooklyn, Milwaukee, Washington, the Clippers, New Orleans, the Clippers again, and the Kings.
So only one defined playoff team in that group.
Of your final 19 wins of the year, only one came against a team that was actually in the playoffs. That is Minnesota.
Yeah.
And Minnesota did not have Anthony Edwards in that game. And then you beat, you know, the Clippers are a play-in team.
The Sixers are.
Sixers are a play-in team. So you beat some play-in teams along the way. Phoenix, they beat one time in there. But only of your last 19 wins, only one of them came against the top 6 seed in the East or the West.
Well, they're the 8 seed nonetheless, and so they get to take on Phoenix tomorrow as they're looking to take the step of making the playoffs for the first time in 4 seasons.
Yeah, I mean, it's first time above 500 in 5 years.
5 years. I mean, 4 seasons have happened since you, you know, last made the playoffs in 2021, so they're looking to end that streak and make it, and they're feeling good about themselves internally. Chris Murray, I saw this from Gundy. Chris Murray was asked about calling his brother and asking him about playoff experience because he was on the Kings team that last made the playoffs.
He was.
And he said, no, we got enough guys with playoff experience in this locker room. They've also gone further. Guess the Kings lost the 3 seed.
They did. They blew
the Warriors that year.
They did not win that first round series, and their organization crumbled immediately following that light the beam moment.
By the way, I also saw this from one of our listeners, Kirk, so I want to shout him out. With the 42-40 record of one Tiago Splitter, he has 36% of the total wins Chauncey had as the coach of this team for 4 years.
Now, did he get – now, was he there for all – did Chauncey game one?
Chauncey gets game one.
Yeah, he got arrested
so
game one.
So he's got 41 wins.
And
he's 41-40.
Game one? Refresh my memory.
They lost. Remember, they blew
Minnesota.
The lead to Minnesota.
So Tiago's 42-39.
Yes, touche. That's correct.
Yeah, I just meant win-wise.
Yeah, yeah. 42 wins.
He's got 36% of Chauncey's total wins in 4 seasons. Yeah.
Give him an extension, you know?
I think it makes a good point of, like, maybe he's not so bad a coach. I don't know if they hire him, but
I don't know how to calculate any of that because there's so many different angles of, you know, where they're at, how they get to where they're going.
Okay, so for all the crowd out there, I don't want to make this a Tiago. I'm not pro or anti Tiago. If they hire Tiago, I'm going to go, okay.
All right.
If they don't, I'm going to go, okay.
I'm not losing sleep over the decision either way.
I love the people that are critical of basketball coaches, and I don't mean this as disrespect. I would love to ask you what specifically you think he's bad at as a coach.
I saw a graphic the other day about in terms of success rate coming out of timeouts throughout the course of the season, and okay. I know the Blazers were dead last in that category.
All right.
So if you're looking for something to
nitpick, have great coaches ever had bad years in that?
I have no idea. The added context, also having good players run those plays out of timeouts usually helps you score more points and you know, guys that you trust a little bit more with the ball in your hands and being healthier. So I'm not saying that's a reason to not hire him, but if I'm looking for a weakness, that's the only one that can stand out in my head.
Okay, thank you. You gave me a weakness. Yeah. There you go. Numbers never lie. That being said, if I told all of the anti-Tiago people he was going to get him to the 8 seed and be the sneaky pick that everybody was going to make to beat Phoenix as the 7 seed, the day after Chauncey got arrested by the feds.
And all the injuries have piled up throughout the year.
And the injuries of Jrue Holiday, Jeremy Grant still out, Shaedon Sharpe missing extended periods of time, Denny Avdija barely making the 65 game. If I told you all of that, I think you'd go, that's a pretty damn good job, man. Like, sometimes coaching can go down to that.
More chaos than normal in an NBA
There's
season.
No doubt about it. The hardest thing that I have with this goes back to the original point of this segment in terms of where they're at, because I think we can all acknowledge they are above 500. I didn't predict them to be above 500, so in my face.
I had them at 500.
You had them at 500.
Yeah, 41, 41.
I can go, I'll look up what Swag had.
I think I had 38 and 4.
I think it was you, Swag, than me in terms of like
I think I was at 36 or 37, so they exceeded my expectations coming into the year. There's no doubt they're in the play-in. It's the first time above 500 in 5 years. All of that is true.
Yeah.
You also have it against this backdrop, and this reminds me of the conversation that we had last year where we put all of our chips into the middle of the table in terms of what they did in the second half of the year and what they were defensively and what Denny was as a player. And look at all, Joe got an extension. Chauncey got an extension. Keep the roster largely intact outside of Anfernee Simons and buying out DeAndre Ayton. The rest of the guys were kind of back. Let's go all in on this mode. And we brought it up last year of, the numbers look good. It's also a little misleading because a lot of the teams you beat didn't play guys against you, and you were beating a Denver without a Jokic, so on and so forth. I have a very similar feeling this year where we've talked about around the league, what is the biggest storyline around the league? It is tanking. It is the number of teams that have raced to the bottom.
It's the most ever in NBA history.
The most we have ever seen. Yeah. Of your 19 wins, like 14 of them came against those teams. Mm-hmm. And so I can acknowledge—
And your 5 wins are largely play-in teams, not playoff teams.
And the one playoff team you beat didn't have his best— You didn't have Anthony Edwards didn't play in the game. And so—
So it's a similar ending to last year.
That's the hard part I have of, like, I can acknowledge you've taken a step. I can acknowledge that you've gotten better. I can acknowledge you've gotten to the play-in. And I think you're going to win tomorrow night. I think you're going to beat Phoenix. You're going to be the 7 seed.
Yeah.
So all that just on the surface level is progress, and I agree. But when you dig a little bit deeper into the numbers and who you beat, like, should we be that encouraged over beating Memphis 3 times, Utah twice, Brooklyn, Indiana twice? Like, these are historically bad teams that have not— I mean, what's the collective total of wins for those bottom 7 teams in the second half of the league or second half of the season since the All-Star break?
Oh, since the All-Star break?
Like, if you take those 7 teams, if they want to combine 10 games, like, they have not beaten anybody. They can't beat anybody.
Well,
and they're not trying to beat anybody.
What you need to do is look at games when they weren't playing each other.
Yes, yes. Because one
somebody
of them
had to win.
Right.
I mean, if you just took—
You had a Memphis-Utah game the other night where they were joking about that of, like, who's going to win? Somebody's going to win.
If you took Memphis, the Kings, and the Jazz just in their last 10 combined, they've played in their last 10 games each and then combined all the records, those 3 teams are 4-25. No, 5-25.
5-25.
5-25.
And I'd be curious if any of those wins came against each other.
Go look at the game logs, and I'm sure you'll find. I bet all 5 were against another tanking team.
It'd be funny if they each had a win against each other. Yeah. That's one of their 1 wins or 3 wins.
Kind of rotated around. So that's a tough part that I have with it, where I acknowledge
investing
the progress.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Like, it happened last year, and I pointed out Kevin Pelton to this, and he got a lot of blowback for it. But, like, you know, their defense has gotten better the last few weeks. I'll give them that. There's
Again,
no doubt.
Again, though, highlight, why is the defense maybe gotten better?
So it's a similar thing. Kevin Belt wrote, like, some of your defensive numbers are not real, and the entire organization was like, this is real. This is who we are now. And then it wasn't, and now it kind of is. So, like, yeah, I think that's the hard part is when you end up with the easiest schedule post the All-Star break in back-to-back years.
And you're trying to win, mind you. You're not tanking. You're trying to win. You're going to beat these teams.
There's no doubt. There's an element of that you have to look at it and be honest. Now, what I'd also say, though, is for all of that, you know, they've picked up a lot of respect around the league. Not in a title contention, even real legitimate Western Conference. I don't think Zach Lowe's picking the Blazers to beat the Spurs.
Nope.
I don't think anybody is. But it is like a, I mentioned this Friday, like, oh, they're kind of fun to watch now. And, oh, look at this player. And Denny might be third team All NBA. And yeah.
Donovan's
Shane's
had some great
now.
Moments this year for sure.
Yeah, yeah, Donovan's grown a lot this year. So it's a weird combination of, I'm not fully buying everything that your record kind of indicates because of what you highlight, but also you have taken the necessary step, even if you don't think it's the right move for them. Yep. You have gotten better. You may be the seventh seed. I think if I tell everybody on this show they're the seventh seed in the Western Conference playoffs, I think you go, that's a pretty good year.
Without a doubt, at the start of the year.
But context kind of matters, too.
That's the important part. I think they're going to win, so it's kind of a moot point because they're going to win one of these next two games and be a playoff team.
Let's talk a little bit. Their season is over. They ended 42-40. I want to talk a little bit about their season, what it was, who popped, and then also, like, are you guys all in? Do you think that they are also going to be playing San Antonio in the 2-7? Do you like their chances against Phoenix tomorrow? I know we'll get to that game tomorrow, but 503-864-6326 is the fan text line. We'll get to that coming up next on 105.1 The Fan. For the last time in the regular season, there's the Blazer winning song as they beat the Kings yesterday. They beat the Clippers on Friday. They secured the 8th seed. Let's get some of the good here of the regular season for our beloved Portland Trail Blazers.
A lot of good in there.
A lot of good in there. Denny Avdija.
Great year.
I wonder if he's going to make third team. It's been.
I don't know enough about the. I mean, you got a couple of guys who won't be able to make it because of
a
game plays limit.
That would be shoe-ins that aren't eligible due to the minimum games.
You know, the people I usually listen to, and I listen to a decent amount of NBA people. Like, I would say he's on 20% of the list when they name their All NBAs.
Yeah, I mean, rightfully
so. He's like right in that. He could, but also if he doesn't, I won't be shocked.
What are the 27-7-6? Is that what he ended up with on the year?
Let me see.
If I remember correctly, let me see, 24-7-7. 24-7-7
is a great year.
That's a great year.
So you have a solidified absolute piece there.
Yeah.
Tumani Kamara. His shooting, his defense turned on after the first few weeks.
He is as good a 3-and-D guy. If you want to know the definition of 3-and-D guy, that's what Tumani gives you.
He absolutely is.
His final percentage from three this year was right around where it was last year. 37.5 last year, 37% this year.
Okay.
But the attempts were up per game,
yeah.
4.6 to 7.2.
I'll take that all day.
Field goal percentage was roughly the same. Points per game was just up because he averaged more shots. He's the kind of guy who can win you a game in a playoff series because he has shown that he's incredibly streaky.
Yep.
And he didn't have a great shooting night on Friday, but then you look back to some of their games last week, like the Denver game where he just couldn't, I mean, it was like the size of the ocean in the first half. Everything he was shooting was going
They'd
in.
He'd probably win if he doesn't foul out of that game.
Yeah, he's been a little streaky in that regard, but overall, if you're asking for a 3-and-D guy to shoot 37%, that's all you can ask for because he's a good defender. 37% is a good clip.
Which, you know, let me highlight in what you brought up last segment, if they win that Denver game, man, it really does kind of change.
Changes a little bit of the feeling in the back half of the year.
Some of what we're talking about, but they also ended up losing that Spurs game with no Castle and no Wimby.
Well, Blazer fans, look, who want to get upset about, just factually speaking, who they beat in the second half of the year. I'm not using it as a way to kick them in the nuts, although maybe that's the way it's being perceived.
I think people view it that way.
Of course they do, because we're sensitive. I'm just adding context to a conversation, okay? That's all I'm trying to do. Where are they at? How successful a year is it? We all acknowledge it's a step in a successful year in that regard. Mm-hmm. I'm just pointing out context, and of course all they can do is play who's on their schedule. I'm just not one of the fans who goes over my skis about being in that spot, considering who you have beaten. And yeah, the Denver game, had they not blown that 18-point lead in the fourth quarter, would have changed a little bit of the feeling in the back half of the year. Or even had they beaten a shorthanded San Antonio team on the road, maybe gives you a little bit of hope going into a postseason, and they couldn't win that game.
Donovan Clingan.
Awesome year for Donovan.
Great year for Donovan. He played more minutes.
I thought he couldn't play 20, though.
He can now.
Did he end up leading the NBA in offensive rebounds?
I believe he did.
Game?
Let me check.
I'll double check that. But
it was like,
he was leading
that
last week.
He was over four a game.
Yeah, 4.5 when I saw it last.
I mean, a guy who took a step offensively, a guy who we already know is a great rebounder and a good defender, and it just him adding the component of being able to grab that many rebounds.
And I think the
total
team
rebounds, he was third behind Kat and Jokic. Offensive rebounds. Okay, that doesn't help me.
I mean, there's only five guys in the league who average over 11 rebounds a game. They're Gobert, Wembanyama, Klingon, Karl-Anthony Towns, and Jokic led the league with 13 a game.
This is going to bother me.
I don't. The ESPN page won't just allow you to pick
ESPN
out offensive
sucks.
Rebounds.
He's still figuring
minutes.
Out how to take advantage of him in the post, too.
Yeah. And he's had, I think the criticism of him earlier in the year would have been that he had big games against bad tanking teams and they would kind of turtle a little bit in some of the bigger matchups. And he had big games late in the year.
His kryptonite is undersized athletic fives.
Yeah, can run around him and use their athletic ability.
Precious Achiuwa was causing him problems.
He led the league in offensive rebounds per game, 4.5. He beat Mitchell Robinson out at 4.2.
Yeah, that's a huge.
He's
22
years
old. His second year in the NBA. His minutes were up. He stayed healthy this year. Like, everything about his season was a positive this year.
Jrue Holiday.
Is what he is.
He is what he is, and if you, I mean, you saw it
so
against.
So no chain, no good, no, just kind of, I mean, just, it's what Jrue Holiday is.
Based on how I thought Jrue Holiday was going to be this year, that's how Jrue Holiday was. Okay. He had moments, he had disappointing moments, he was a good leader.
Want him available more than he was.
Shaedon Sharpe. Now we're going to get into the fun part.
It's a big incomplete. I just don't. No.
A big incomplete?
I have a hard time labeling it anything other than a disappointment based on the and it's unfortunate for him because he didn't have any control over it, the injury and missing a chunk of the season in the back half of the year. It felt like right when he was grabbing the bull by the horns and starting to figure things out and it was slowing down a little bit for him, and we talked about him in that stretch where he was playing better ball and the percentages were coming up a little bit, and then he's out and the last two games of the season, I don't know how many he ended up playing last night, but I think on Friday he played 10, 12 minutes.
He played 50 games this year. He played 72 the year prior, and he played 32 in his second season.
He's been available, unavailable, available, and if you're under 50 or around 50, that's tough.
But if I give you for 50 games, if I tell you before the year Shaden's going to average 20.8, so 21 if you want to round up, 4.3 rebounds, 2.6 assists.
What's he going to shoot?
He's going to shoot 33.7% from three and 45.2% from the field and 78.7% from the free throw line. If I told you that's what he's going to give you in 50 games for the year, what would you have said?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is
like I could see
one of
know
the
tougher talent?
Players, I think, in the city's history to
– Yeah.
You got some people that go way over the skis of like ascending, 28 a game, here it comes, he's the guy. And then you got the other side, and I think it's the quieter side that doesn't get on social media to tell you everything they think, that's like not that enamored.
Well,
with
him. Think about if he's whether or not he's on the roster or off the roster next year.
If it changes how you feel?
And I don't think that one way or the other changes how I feel about what I expect for next season.
I mean, next season's year five.
Yeah.
Right.
He's
still young, but you're going into year five now in the NBA.
The age thing to me, I've always said this. The age thing is not important. It is the years and the seasons.
Experience.
Five seasons is a lot in the NBA. I don't care if you're 23 years old.
No. And in two of those seasons, he's played nearly the entire year.
That's a long time
now,
to like
I will
get
say
and understand the league.
His particular usage from the team and coaches, and is he starting his? Mm-hmm. That's been a challenge for him, along with not consistently being available every night to help develop a consistent role with how the team wants to use him. So
yeah.
That's been some of that's in his control. A lot of that's out of his control, which is why, and especially
his usage rate when he plays is in the 91 percentile.
Yeah,
it's actually
what does that rank?
It's the second highest on the team. It's behind Denny, who's 100 percentile.
Where does that rank you in the NBA? Top 5%?
Top 9%?
Top 9%? Okay.
91 percentile. Okay. Yeah, 29.3%.
And I mean, some of that's going to be on whoever the coach is next year. If it's Tiago or somebody
how do you
else.
Want to utilize him? If he's still here, if he's not a part of a trade
he's
in the offseason.
Still a big, giant mystery, and the frustration is he shouldn't be a mystery in year five.
Yeah, I mean, the unfortunate part about him is he reeks of that guy that we're always going to say you want more out of him while also acknowledging we know he's what he's capable of and he's a good player, like averaging 24 or 21 points per game. Like, that's not a bad number, and the shooting percentages did get better after his horrific... I mean, the first month of the year, he couldn't make a shot to save his life.
Yeah, but it's still 33.7.
And then he slowly dug out of that hole, but I mean, when you miss your first, felt like 50 attempts of the year, and then you got to dig out of that, it's not easy to do. And so, the other part of it that I want to be fair to him is that he also had a lot of injuries around him and was asked to take on a bigger share of offensive responsibilities, and I think he was banged up for a period of time prior to actually getting hurt and then going on to miss games. And so, there's a lot of nuance in the conversation around Shaedon Sharpe. He feels like one of these guys, as long as he's going to be here, we ask ourselves every year, is this the year? Is this the year that it breaks out? Is this year that he becomes more consistent? And it doesn't mean if you make a swing, you don't have to include him, that he can't be a good role player or a good, you know, scorer off the bench or whatever the future might hold for him. But I think when you take a guy in the top 10 who shows the athletic ability that he has and the pure talent that he possesses, you're hoping for more, that you can squeeze every ounce out of it. And I don't think he's done that to this point of his NBA career.
I guess I would just say, like, you're going into the play-in, and I think you're going to make the playoffs. So if you do that,
he's going to get a handful of games now.
You would want, I'm just guessing here, maybe Blazer fan doesn't agree with this. He's 22 years old, but it's his fourth season. I would imagine if I told you that's the deal, you're expecting him to be their second best player?
Yeah.
Okay, but we're not going to go in with that mindset, are we?
No, we're not.
Is he even your third? Hell, I'd ask this. Is he your fourth?
Yeah.
I mean,
based on where he's at
numbers,
health-wise, right, that's a tough part with him. Like, how many minutes is he going to be able to play on Tuesday? What's his restriction at? Is that cleared? Is he able to go 30-plus minutes? Like, that changes things a little bit. You also have to be fair to him with the rust of being out for how long he was out for.
I'm totally acknowledging that, but, like, even
like,
in the years
before
the
he got
played,
hurt, what would you have said he was before he got hurt?
Not their second best.
Okay, that's fair. Third?
Debatable.
Yeah.
Depends on the matchup.
As of right now, I can't say top three because I don't know where he's at.
Also, is what you value. Like, is he better than Tumani? I don't know. Tumani's pretty valuable, and I don't think he's cracking the starting lineup because you've got now some cohesiveness with that starting group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they have Scoot in the starting lineup.
Yeah.
They have Scoot in there, and defensively now you can switch everything on the perimeter around Klingon.
Yep.
I still got to get to Scoot, so I want to ask you about that. And is this the end for some of the Blazer broadcasting situation? Very weird ending to the season, and now we got a new owner who likes to shake things up.
That was the vibe I got.
Really?
Really? Watching the game last night, that was the vibe you got?
Did you stick around and watch some of the post game?
No.
No, okay. I didn't. I didn't know it was going to be the last game. I just forgot they were not doing
the
first round.
I assume the NBA has always – they've always broadcast
always
the first round
games.
Round.
The radio still gets the NBA playoffs.
Yeah,
the
local
TV
radio
side,
goes all the way through. Yeah,
the TV playoffs used to be first round local.
When you pay that much more extra to get exclusive, you get exclusive.
Okay, you're giving me – that's a dirty little tease you're giving me because I told you I didn't watch a second of that game. You're not getting me to watch the Kings, dude. No. I'm folding laundry with my wife. I'm doing the real things that matter.
I was on my couch watching 6 hours of golf yesterday. I needed a refresher.
You needed a non-sports situation.
Yeah, I'm plugged for a little bit.
What would you grade Shaden? And then we got to get to Scoot. We'll get to that, plus what Swag's teasing on the broadcasting side. We'll get to that coming up next on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. 7:36 on 105.1 The Fan and The Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Hope you're rocking on a Monday. Got a little Hall & Oates for you as you drive in. Also got some Shaden Sharp takes. We're grading the Blazer season is over, and so they're getting ready for the play-in, which is tomorrow against the old Phoenix Suns. And if they beat Phoenix, they take on San Antonio. We'll get to the NBA playoff matchups. We got them all.
When would that start, Saturday, Friday or Saturday? I didn't look at the schedule.
Ooh, I thought it was Sunday.
Sunday?
It might be Saturday.
If they win tomorrow night, when would game one against San Antonio be?
Give me a second.
Let me look. I've got...
Because when's the last playing game? Is it Friday night is the last
playing? Yeah, so Friday night are the two...
That's right, you got to take Thursday off.
Saturday or Sunday, so it looks like
San Antonio
guys,
they might get Thursday or Saturday games.
I would bet Saturday because you would win tomorrow.
They would have Sunday. Yeah. Sunday, 6 o'clock, Peacock. It's the last game
of the
weekend.
It's the last game of the weekend.
Game one, if they win tomorrow, would be Sunday, 6 o'clock, Peacock.
Postseason basketball returns to Rip City.
Now, look, I do want to be – I want to get to the playoff stuff, but let me ask you on Scoot.
Yeah.
Now, what did we end up saying on Shaden there? Because here's my thing on Shaden. It feels like it's year four, and we're saying the same thing every year,
every
whether
year.
He's playing 30 games, 50 games, or 70 games. It feels like we're all just going,
It is,
and that's not a grade. That's not even a reaction. It's a sound.
It's disappointing for me.
But they've already got him to the extension.
I don't know what grade would that be. A C?
So if he's here, okay.
So you think he's a C?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a player who serves purposes. He can score 20 a game. He did this year, but he will always leave you wanting more.
He's certainly somebody that you should be able to find a role for on the roster, whether it's coming off the bench. Or
contract's not horrible either. Like, I'm not upset about the contract.
But
it's not like you're paying him an insane amount of money.
For a piece that fits more with, you know, the team and the coach and all of those, I'll shrug my shoulders and go, okay.
Yeah.
If he's on or I don't think it changes how I generally feel about where the team's headed. Like, if he's gone, I'm like, oh, crap. How are they going to replace him? I'm not feeling that.
Oh, which kind of tells me all I need to know then.
That's why it's a disappointing
season. If they did that to Monty, you'd probably
I'd be like,
oh, crap.
Where are you going to get somebody that you can say,
well,
go
stop him? It depends
on
what the return is, right? Like, if you're moving to Monty, I'd imagine it's been a pretty big move. Like, that's a
that's always
a major,
part of it,
major trade.
There's intel that Giannis doesn't want West Coast.
Yeah, that's fine.
Doesn't want Blazers.
So is there another player out there?
If Tumani is moved, I will be, okay, who's your one guy? If, like, somebody's torching you.
Who's the elite
perimeter
defender?
Who's the guy that I go stop that guy, make somebody else beat you, and you feel confident can go at least – force a team to do something else.
Okay, now Scoot.
It's very similar to Shaden for me. Unfortunately,
he played less
games. It's unfortunate because it's not necessarily his fault, but you have an incomplete picture, which then leads to a disappointing outcome for me. This was a contract year for him. This was a year that I don't know what the conversation was prior to the hamstring injury, which happened near the start of the season in terms of what we actually expected. Mm-hmm. But Blazer fans were hopeful that maybe there was some growth or some sort of step. And 3 years into his NBA career, does anybody see him more than just a good role-playing point guard who can set things up and be a distributor? Right. He's not a good scorer of the basketball. He's not good at finishing around the rim. He's just not a good three-point shooter. And so at times the numbers were okay. There would be a game here or there, and he'd say, look at that. Scoot had a nice night. Mm-hmm. But similar to Shaden, it's incredibly inconsistent, and he has not shown the growth and development that you could trust to be a franchise cornerstone type of player 3 years into his career.
So his usage rate, according to Cleaning the Glass, is 54th percentile, right smack dab in the middle. His assist percentage is 23rd percentile, so that's the percentage of his teammates make shots the players assist on. That's not very good as the point guard.
And that's, again, not all on him because they're not a great shooting team, I'm trying to be fair in all of these.
I totally understand it. His turnover percentage is in the 25th percentile. That's not great. And his points per shot attempt is in the 46th percentile.
Yeah.
The biggest issue I have with Scoot is you have Drew, you have Dame, you have Denny all back next, assuming they're all back and healthy next year. Those three guys dominate. He needs to have the basketball in his hands at this point in his career to be effective. And how much is he going to have it in his hands?
He's not. That's always been my thing on him.
And
is
so
like he's not.
What's the point of him staying on the roster if those three guys are back?
Yep.
And that's not necessarily
because
his
contract's cheap
his
and
fault.
They're going to maybe tell themselves he played for 6 weeks and didn't have a full season.
But you're again going to throw him into a situation where I don't know if he can thrive, but he will not be allowed to thrive in a setting like that. And that's the issue.
Well, Dame's back. I've said this when they signed him. Who's starting?
It's not going to be
Scoot.
I have a
hard time believing Dame's coming off the bench.
They're back next year, Dame and Drew will be your starting backcourt next year.
So you'd have Dame, Drew,
Denny to Mine, and Donovan.
Assuming you don't make some monster move that includes
Yes, that would be your starting five next year. And either Scoot or Shaden would be coming
off the
bench.
Unless there's an arrangement
where
some Drew comes off the bench. Because your concern with both Drew and Dame out there is they are defensively.
I have no concerns with Drew and Dame. Drew is a bigger CJ who can play defense and can totally play off ball. I have no concerns.
No, he has no problem with that.
And then if you want both Denny and Tumani on the floor, they're athletic, but you are lacking some size then in your front court. You're relying on Klingon to own the paint.
Mm-hmm.
But if you play teams that have big fours, that's an issue.
Yeah.
He's in the 37th percentile on two-point percentage.
Not good.
Not good.
And he's in his third year in the NBA.
His effective field goal percentage put him in the 42 percentile.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guard who is not a dynamic shooter of the basketball. And if you're not that, you need to be elite finishing around the rim.
So what are you grading it? I mean, I know it's not the biggest of sample sizes. He came in late, but like, what are we grading it? You're kind of saying you're just not grading. What's the grade?
For Shaden, I would give Shaden a C+. C+ / B- could err on either side. It's very similar to me in terms of GPA requirement.
Okay.
I'm not going to give him a D, but it'd be a borderline C-. Like by the hair.
A 70.
Like I'm not going to give you a failing grade. I can't go that extreme because, again, the injury was out of his control and he only played 30 games. Mm-hmm. But in the 30-game sample size that we saw, C- at best for me.
Swag, you agree?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So the two guys that we thought when they drafted, we'd be like, they're the cornerstones.
Top 10 picks?
Nope.
Has completely shifted. Now you got Denny, you got Two, you got Donovan. And then you got all the other guys that are
plus
a part
the thing,
of it. Plus
then
game
if
comes
you've
back.
Got good role bench guys, like if you keep Rob Williams, if you keep Matisse Thybulle, that sort of stuff, that's
I think Rob's going to get a decent contract. He's stayed pretty healthy.
He's a really effective player when he's available. Yes. It's just that's been like, the issue in his career.
That's solid guys, smart guys, and they're not their egos are in check. They're not, you know, headaches off the floor, anything like that.
No.
So if you can find a way to keep the and they want to be a part of it, they believe in what's going on. They're not looking to cash in on the big deal. Now Rob might
be his last shot at a contract.
Rob should cash in. Is what I would say.
Go get every penny you can.
Contract,
but,
dude.
But yeah,
your knees are going to explode
at
some point.
Oh, I'm a good piece in Portland. I'm going to turn down this money from
Scoot and Shaden still think they should be at some point starters in the NBA.
I don't know if Shaden does think about it. I'll be honest with you. Part of my criticism of him is like I just think he just shows up and plays basketball.
He's just hooping.
Yeah,
just hooping.
What are you doing today? Oh, I got to hoop at like 7.
Got a game tonight.
Okay. Yeah. What are you doing tomorrow? I don't know.
Call of Duty.
I think we got
Call
practice.
Get some Cheerios.
Maybe practice.
Yeah, I think we got shoot around or something. I don't know.
He's a 22-year-old making $20 million a year. His life's pretty good. He doesn't really need to have that driving force anymore.
The playoffs are here. We've got the matchups, and our beloved Blazers are going to be involved. We'll get to that coming up next on 105.1 The Fan. All right, put poll questions up on the socials. What would you grade Shaden Sharpe's season, A, B, C, or D? What would you grade Scoot Henderson's season, A, B, C, or D? You can vote at Dirt and Sprague. That is on the Twitter machine. We'll get to the playoff side of this. They still have to play a play-in tomorrow. We'll get to a lot of that game with the Phoenix Suns. And we'll get to the matchups because we do have, outside of the play-in results, we've got most of our first-round matchups already here. So we'll get to that.
Sans who the ones and twos are playing.
Swag, you watched the Kings game more as background, but you watched it.
It was on. I was semi-paying attention, yes.
I acknowledged I did not. You're not getting me to watch the Kings. There's nothing in that game you could text in and tell me that would change anything about what I think about
anything. Oh, I understand. I was mostly just in case they...
Crap the bed.
I kept an eye on the score just in case that thing got uncomfortable
so
and you thought, oh my God, could they really
blow
that?
They were farting around in the first quarter. They weren't really playing defense. Offense was coming easy, and then they cranked up the defense in the second quarter, outscored them by 20, and then they were playing with their food in the second half.
So you kept an eye on this, and you had a thing because it's a natural, I think, reaction of Dundon's the new owner, and look at Dundon's past the Hurricanes, and one of the things he did when he became the owner was he shook up broadcasting.
Yeah. Fans hated him for it because their play-by-play guy was beloved, John Forslund.
I do want them to win. I'm excited about him getting him in the position, but I said while you were out, I did a whole thing on like, don't get rid of the radio. Don't make this a simulcast. I think that's terrible for the radio side. I want Blazers radio to exist forever. Now, I'm super biased because I'm doing a radio show, but that was my take. I have no idea what he's going to do, but you had a takeaway watching.
So in the I kept it on for some of the post game, and Calabro and Hurd were taking selfies with Dame and Denny at their broadcast thing, like as they were wrapping up their portion of it.
Now is that normal on the last game of the year?
No, I can't remember last time I watched the last game of the year.
My vibe was this may be it for Calabro. Whether it's of his own doing, whether he knows something, I know. This is total speculation.
Yeah,
I know nothing. I haven't gotten any inside thing. Nobody's talked to me.
He's always been more of a Seattle guy anyway.
69 going on 70.
The vibe I got was,
see you later.
It's been fun. Yeah. Portland, Oregon, USA, thanks for everything.
Now, Lamar was the intro to the press conference. So
I don't think Lamar's going anywhere. Yeah. I don't think Lamar's going
anywhere.
That's
what I'm saying. He was the intro to the press conference. I don't think you'd do that if you're thinking about shaking it up all
but
the way.
But the vibe I was getting was that this may be swan song for Calabro.
Well,
might be part when the Sonics come back of their inaugural season. Obviously, he was right there during the...
So he does like a retirement season where he does one
something
more
like that,
and
or it's a third
flowers?
In the broadcast. He does something. Yeah, he might be involved because I believe his home is still up in the Seattle area.
That makes sense.
I know originally he's from Indianapolis.
Yeah, his brother's back there.
Well, and I think also, too, like we've worked in broadcasting long enough that if we were to guess, I have no clue how much they make, but I'd be willing to guess that Kevin Kevin Colabro probably brings in a little bit more than Lamar Hurd on a yearly paycheck.
Yeah. Just I think he's one of the higher team play-by-play guys in the league.
He's been around a long time. Well, he was the national voice of ESPN radio.
Yeah, when the Sonics went away, he was the national radio voice for ESPN radio.
When they hired him.
He would be the guy doing the NBA finals for ESPN radio.
You don't get him away from ESPN radio if you're not paying for him. And so if there is a guy that's going to get let go or be a part of a cost-cutting move, it would make more sense to have it be him. Lamar Hurd has the local tie-in. I think Lamar is an awesome color analyst.
Lamar's
I loved
great.
Him. He does a great job.
He's a good balance between X's and O's and having fun.
Having fun,
broadcast.
Being lighthearted. We've had him on the show a number of times. He's a great ambassador in the community, so I'm hoping like hell that he sticks around. I will be honest, though, if they lose Colabro and replace him with somebody, I'm not. You appreciate who he is as a broadcaster and what he's done and what his career is. I'll be okay.
The broadcast thing was just odd because it was the replacing of pretty legendary guys in the market there, and Mike and Mike.
Mike and Mike were there forever.
And then they did the odd thing of like...
Well, Colabro didn't do the COVID games. Remember, it was Jordan Kent
was Jordan
and Lamar
Kent. Yeah, so it was Colabro, then it was COVID, then it was
Colabro
Jordan
again.
Kent, and then Colabro's back. Right. And I don't know if... I'm just speculating. I don't know if Jordan Kent thought that was the arrangement.
He might have thought he had the job.
I would imagine you kind of think, oh, I'm going to get it, because Casey at that point is what, 65?
Yeah. Right, he was already up
whatever
there.
Because he's going to be 70 at some point. So, yeah, I would imagine the way that was all going down. It just felt very weird. I would say the last 4 years of the Vulcans felt very weird.
It's a good way to put it.
We went through the no playoffs. We started losing Dame. We then lost Dame. We had the broadcasting. Like, people still will text in from time to time, Miss Mike and Mike. Can't, you know, whatever. You're always going to have an opinion for people you love, but...
That was the tough part with Colabro, is he was never ours, and this is a market where being one of us matters more so than probably some other markets around the league.
Right, because Barrett went to Oregon State. He did stuff for Oregon. Like, he's as Northwest as you could get.
Lives in the area.
Lives in the area, right, and then it's like, oh, we're going to move on from him, and oh, who are we going to get? We're going to get the guy that did Seattle stuff for
forever.
A long time.
Yeah.
And the Vulcans are based in Seattle, so you're like, oh. And then they brought Lamar in, and I was like, I'm cool with Lamar. Like, I was being critical of Rice at the end of the Rice era anyway.
He got loosey-goosey.
Yeah, I mean, he started, the fastball wasn't there, you know what I mean?
He could hit a changeup every now and then, but other than that,
he was throwing some knuckleballs there at the end. So I was excited about having Lamar because I liked him on Pac-12 basketball games. Right. And then the Colabro thing, like, he's one of the all-time best to do it, but yeah, I think paired with who you replaced... And the he's here, now he's not here, now he's back again thing. It's just very interesting. I tend to believe broadcasting will be, there'll be a shakeup.
Yeah, it seems like that will be on the horizon. That was one of the more easy ways to observe them cutting a little bit of money on the fringes.
I don't know if that's going to be a simulcast. Is somebody like Demers going to try to do the TV stuff, knowing it's also going to be on radio?
Yeah, that could be your move. He's the radio voice and the TV voice.
Or do you keep the radio, which would be great, and then do you do a separate TV guy, and who do you bring in for that thing? I have no clue where they're going to go with it. It just does, to Swag's point, I felt this even not watching last night. It's felt like this might be the end. In some ways with the broadcast the way it was.
Yeah, look, I will say I agree with your take on radio, and I think any Blazer fan for long enough, I've lived in this area my entire life, I've been a Blazer fan my entire life, growing up going to games, and so I think if you've been a fan long enough, we all have memories of hearing or catching a big moment in the car.
Yep.
For me, it will always be the Brandon Roy comeback game, and I was in college when it happened, driving up from Eugene. We got stuck in a traffic jam, ended up having to listen to the majority of the game on the radio, and I'll never forget Wheels' call. For the rest of my life, I will remember Wheels' call from the end of that huge comeback where he scored 19 straight points or whatever it was, and they won the game. It's one of the best moments I've had as a fan, and so we all have those moments we can connect to. I pray that they keep that intact because it's been an integral part of the organization, and Sean Lee and Rip City, Wheels, and then now on to Travis Demers. The Colabro thing, I think you acknowledge, great broadcaster, all-time great chops. I will be okay as a fan if you go elsewhere and that's your move. Whether it's cost-cutting or whether it's him, I'm getting ready for the Seattle gig, whether it's him, I'm 70 years old and I'm done and I just want to do random games here or there, like I'm not ready for much of a full-time job. I'm okay with it and I'll survive that way as a fan, but I hope they keep radio intact.
A lot more to get into in the third and fourth hour of the radio programs, yet the NBA playoffs are set. Maybe a little peekaboo dive into Major League Baseball's regular season as it marches on. We're closer to the NFL draft. A lot more to discuss. Dirt and Sprague, hour number 3 on 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network.